you know, versus some of the more obvious answers. Andy Serling is going to join us because there's another weekend of racing set to go. America's weekends at the races on Fox. Andy, good morning.
Morning. Well, actually, they'll be extending beyond weekends after this weekend, so it'll remain day at the races.
I love it. I love it.
We'll be on every day.
How many?
Hopefully we'll be racing soon at Belmont as well. But we'll be covering Churchill regardless. We'll be covering both when Belmont starts running. We'll be covering Churchill when Belmont's not.
Wow.
A little Tampa tomorrow, too.
Boy. Oh, that's great. That is great. That would include even like Thursdays as well. Is that going to, that's going to start to bubble up?
I don't know. Is Thursday during the week or is that like a special alien day?
No, I think they're going to be running. I should pull up the calendar actually.
Yes, every day.
Oh, okay.
Including Thursdays.
Oh, great. All right. Tremendous.
We're including that in the calendar.
Tremendous.
It's a new sort of twist.
It's a welcome innovation. I love it. Obviously, this card tomorrow at Churchill. I mean, with these big fields. I mean, it's one thing, Andy, to look at big fields, and you know, there's a lot of huzzarai. In this case, there's serious well intended. No, there's the occasional hazard, but no, it's.
I've noticed a little hazard.
One here and there
is another man's floor. Yeah, the races are super. There's a lot going on. No question about it. Both Saturday and Sunday. So looking forward to it. Yeah.
Beyond, let's give everybody the rundown. Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't. 1 o'clock start tomorrow.
1 o'clock. Yep, we'll be on from 1 until 6:30 both days, covering all 11 races, both days, and most of Tampa tomorrow as well. I think I'm on from 1 to. I don't know. Feels like I'm on from 1 to 3, and then 4 to 6:30. And then I'm on from 1 to 2:30 and then 3:30 to 6:30 or something like that.
Wow. And I'm just looking at here are the specifics. Fox Sports 2, 1 to 2:30 tomorrow. Fox Sports 1, 2:30 to 6. Then back to Fox Sports 2, 6 to 6:30. And Prime Ticket 3 to 6:30. And in San Diego, 3 to 6:30 as well. Very similar format on Sunday, 1 to 2 on Sports 2, then 2 to 6 on Fox Sports 1, 6 to 6:30 Fox Sports 2, 3 to 6 on Prime Ticket and San Diego.
Prime Tickets in L.A., right? I think. Are people up this early in L.A.?
Says San Diego.
8 o'clock. People don't get up early, do they?
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, yeah, you know.
The jokes.
Yeah, they're
maybe bad. But
there you go.
No, looking forward to it. I don't know how much you've looked, but it's a lot of pretty interesting races throughout the day. We'll see what the weather ends up like. Obviously, the turf races are good, but you know, there'll be interesting race in the dirt anyway. It's not New York where they have they have one turf course, so there's not we're not going to have there's three turf races each day. Monomoy Girl is back. Obviously, it'll be interesting to see what she does. That's in race number 4. And no, I agree. It's a strong card throughout. Strong allowance races, big fields, a lot of entrants. I mean, I don't know if you have any specific races that you looked at either Saturday or Sunday, but I can certainly talk about any specific race if you're interested.
Go ahead. I mean, pick something you were intrigued by.
Well, you and I
were talking.
It's hard because you don't really know how the races are going to be bet. It's easier to make. When you got big fields, the horses are going to get lost, and I think that's. That's probably the primary thing people want to pay attention to in big fields is, have an open mind, because I don't think these are races where you're looking too often and going, well, I just think the 3 is way the horse to beat. And you might feel that way, but in general, I think in handicapping these races, I feel like it's more about eliminations and horses I don't particularly like and horses I'm going to use. And you sort of go from there. And the ninth race was kind of interesting. Interesting, Hirsch turning back second off a trainer change, Jason Barkley, turning back to a one-turn, 7 furlongs. I really do think he's a one-turn horse. Mm-hmm. He's actually a horse that's got some talent. He's a little dressed up off some trips early in his career, but he's consistently run figures that absolutely make him a player here. And I think the second off a layoff, cutting back to one turn, will suit him well. So I thought he was dangerous in there. The Yamato Maker dropping down to Bill Mott was a little dangerous. I'm not sure if he's really reliable by any stretch of the imagination, but not impossible. The Sacred Oath off the claim for Robertino Diodoro has to be respected. We saw what he did at Oaklawn off the claim. So I think they were all horses. The 8, 4, and 6 that I was a little interested. There's a lot going on. The one's going to be scratched, I assume. I think he's in Sunday. But looking through, I don't think there's any horse in here that sort of jumps off the page. So they were the ones I focused on. But, you know, it's once again, we'll see what kind of prices they end up. 10th race is super competitive. I guess Portrait will probably be, I don't know the odds in front of me, morning line, but the 2 Portrait would probably be the favorite. Miss T2, the 5, looks dangerous. 4 races. We'll see if she can bounce back for Ian Wilkes. And the 11, Aurelia Garland, Rudy Brissett. We'll see. I mean, that horse only ran once for Wesley Ward, but ran a big number last year. That horse could be dangerous also off the rail, but has to get 7 furlongs. Should be able to. The last race, obviously, was on the turf. It was a super interesting race. We'll see if it stays on the turf. On the turf, I thought Carrick was kind of interesting in there. But we'll see. You know, we'll see if they stay on the grass or not. But no, I mean, I think like any kind of racing like that, I think you want to have an open mind to all the contenders as much as anything. You know.
Yeah,
going in a lot of these races with big fields and stuff and feeling like as far as playing pick 4s, pick 5s, it's not something you're going to hit on a small bankroll, but I think the possibility of lucrative rewards in them is pretty significant. And that's what people are looking for.
Well, and that's the best part of this scenario because by virtue of having a let's say the late pick 4, 12 by 12 by 12 by 12, you're guaranteed that there's extraneous coverage and there's going to be
you're never guaranteed
horses covered.
The possibilities are bigger than the payoffs, at least substantial. And I mean, I think if people are looking at the late pick 5, it starts at race 7, probably the biggest single or lean on horse is Say Moi. Because if she runs back to her debut, she's going to win. She's not going to be the 5-2 morning line. She's probably closer to 6 or 7-5 in this race, and she should be. I don't have any real argument against that. She's a very short price in here. The 7 Mystic Mist, the 6 Tormenta, the 6 Tormenta had a trip in her debut, and she switched to Larry Jones. I don't know if she's really good enough, but she did have a legitimate trip, and I recommend people look at that race. And the 2 Skinny Dip is definitely not impossible as well. But Say Moi runs back to her maiden race. She's going to win this race a significant portion of the time. She lost to a very good over center aisle. And she ran well to lose to her. It wasn't sort of like just a suck up race. So she's probably the biggest lean in people, people were playing late pick 5. The 8th race is a turf race. Off the turf, it's probably some combination of the 5, 9, 17 on the turf. It's much more open. The 4, I guess, Tankerville is possible, though I don't know about that. It was going a mile. Lebec is a little interesting. Trainer switched to Mike Maker. Limnery is obviously fast enough. Doesn't seem to win at short prices, but can clearly win. You've got to deal with Montegali, first time on the turf for Chad Brown as well, though there isn't a lot of pedigree there. But Chad Brown's won a lot of races on the turf with horses with mediocre pedigrees for it, that's for sure.
Nick pointed that one out too, and talked about it. Agree. Nick pointed out Motegali not having much pedigree, but as you've said too, Chad sees things in these horses that translate okay when he moves him over. That is a fun race. That absolute. Andy, go back to Monomoy Girl for a second. What is your general approach when you get a horse like this, you know, coming back? I mean, because one thing that you hear so often is if you're going to beat a horse like this, this is the spot to, you know, to take the swing against.
Yeah, well, I don't think you're taking a huge swing against her, but I think it depends what price she is. If she ended up 4-5, and to me, Talk Live to Me off the private purchase and trainer chain is really the only other horse in here to take that seriously. If she were 4-5 or even money and Talk Live to Me were 2-1 or 5-2, I probably wouldn't be inclined to bet Talk Live to Me. But if she were 1-2 or 2-5 and Talk Live to Me were 7-2 or 4-1, I'm going to bet Talk Live to Me. I think she's a potential real good bet in this race. She's supposed to be the controlling speed. I mean, it was a long time ago, but did she really run that much worse than Monomoy Girl in the Acorn, where she had to force the pace and Monomoy Girl started the perfect trip behind her? I don't think she ran much worse. And, you know, Talk Love to Me is a better horse when she's allowed to be ridden aggressively. You look at her races, her best races are when they're aggressive with her. And I think she's a horse that could get back to her better races. We'll see. She's a 4-year-old. You don't know. But Monomoy Girl, you can cut any way you want. She hasn't run over 18 months, and she missed last year a lot of issues. For what it's worth, Brad Cox is 1-13 off year plus laps in the dirt. He's 0-4 on the dirt at a route. A lot of those horses that lost in the 1-13 were short prices. They weren't champions like Monomoy Girl, who obviously, if she's what she was at one time, she's going to win this race. But I don't think it's a bad idea to be a little bit circumspect about these horses. It depends what price they are, though. If people are very wary and she's even money or 6-5, I don't think there's going to be a ton of value on the others. But if she's 1-2, I think is she really 70% to win this race? Maybe. But I think it's a reasonable gamble to take a shot against her.
No, fair.
I don't really know who the alternative is besides Talk Boob to Me. But I mean, Lady Kate at times has run okay, and Fashion Faux Pas at times has run okay. So I don't think they're all totally impossible.
How do you expect pace-wise? I mean, Santana does have, the preferential spot.
If you want to use her speed, she's the speed. I've given up trying to guess how horses are going to be ridden these days because races are so frequently run in races that you can't imagine on paper. But I don't think anybody's going to sit here and make a big argument that if they want to be aggressive with her, she can be in the front. She's fast. She's shown she's fast on a number of occasions.
And Lady Kate is coming off of all one-turn races.
If I were a trainer, I'd be using my horse's speed in dirt races. I don't know why anybody would think differently. But I'm not. If you don't have speed, there's nothing to do about it. But I mean, let's look at who's the most successful dirt trainer in this country? Bob Baffert. Has he ever shied away from horses being aggressively ridden? How about when Wayne Lucas used to dominate? Did he ever shy away horses being aggressively ridden? You know, as a very smart man once said to me, Wayne Lucas made a lot of money sending speed horses to the lead. That was Todd Fletcher that said that to me 24 years ago.
That's a great line.
You know, I think that horse racing is something where sometimes the most simplistic of seeming comments are often the smartest comments, right? I think, and it's true of horse players, sometimes we overthink things as well. But I think more people get themselves in trouble trying to overthink things in this game when the answer is very simple often. I think the simple answer of aggression is often rewarded in dirt racing. It's worked well for Bob Baffert, and I don't think you'll get an argument from too many people that he's as good a dirt trainer as there is in the game, and maybe as good a dirt trainer as we've ever had in the game.
Yeah, we've seen one of the big stories really all year has been the way Florent Giroux has been aggressive and how it's paid off for him.
Yep, 100%. Absolutely. I agree. I think if you were to write, and there hasn't been, you know, there hasn't been as much racing, but if you were to write the story in the races, the bigger races at least, especially the three-year-old preps, of, you know, the rider who is stuck out has been Florence, who is really, it's almost like he saw something, some secret, and he got it, and other people didn't. And he won races by just being aggressive. I mean, that's not the right horse under you, but I think Florence riding has made a real difference. I agree. I'm very impressed with how he's ridden.
Well, we've been impressed with the tremendous coverage on Fox that has kept everybody going.
Because I've had very little to do with it.
No, that's not true. You're back in the picture. Who else is on? Who else is on?
I don't have the rundown, but
the usual.
I'm assuming it's me and Maggie and Greg and Lafitte and Gary and Jonathan. I think it's the whole crew. I'm assuming and hoping Michelle is on. I don't have the rundown of who's on. It hasn't been set yet, but I think Michelle's done a really good job. And she's somebody who had not been on the team in the past. And I thought she's done a really good job, thanks to her.
I always remember driving to Kentucky for Derby, and this was in the days when TVG was being fed simulfeed, you know, on the network here on Sirius XM. And
they used to preempt
you. Covering. No, I was in the morning already. I'd already moved to the mornings.
Afternoon? I don't even remember.
Four to seven.
I remember how worried you were that was going to like ruin the show, make the show better.
It has, yeah. Well, because you know, the different challenge, of course, was just that the morning hours, and there are certain people who are, you know, just not, they're just on the track, and you're not going to get them as readily. But it, in a lot of ways, it's been just really nice, and it kind of introduces the day, you know, the race day to everybody. Now, I prefer it too, actually, because I used to spend all day long preparing and watching everything, and it was a different kind of a preparation compared to now. But I love the 9 to noon. But I was listening to the simulcast feed, and Michelle was doing the horse flesh watch, and
they threw in the old days.
She had it
to her a lot when I used to go on HRTV.
I think they've all kind of had moments back and forth. Christine Oliveras too. Both on both sides, but I'm almost positive because there was HRTV feeding on the network as well for a period.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure this was TVG, and
on another note, are you excited for Santa Anita being reopened today?
Well, of course, absolutely.
Yeah, Frank on.
I did not have Frank on. I talked to him during the week. Michelle gave out a 58-1 shot. If she said, you know, looking in this paddock, I think it was a bunch of maidens and at Keeneland, and she said, with all due respect to the fancy pedigrees and the obvious, she said, this horse looks unbelievable and absolutely, you know, fit and on the toes and ready to, and the horse wins, paid like $110 or $120. It was unbelievable. I'll never forget that because I heard it live. Michelle,
Do you think I should bet a hunch bet in the fourth race of Gulfstream today, Fluent in Sarcasm?
Yes, go ahead.
I like
absolutely.
That name. It's a good name.
That is a good name.
It was a Peter Urton horse.
How about
you're going
that?
To be shocked Who's to got... hear this, but one of the original owners was Matacat Stables.
we're going to talk to Mike Welch.
What's that? I'm looking at the off-the-turf races at Gulfstream.
They're off the turf today, and
not sure how compelling they are.
No?
No.
Well, if anybody's going to sniff one out, it's you.
Well, I think, you know, once again, people have to look at these races and sort of be ready to look at the board and say, why is this horse 6-1? You know,
Yes.
It's one thing to look at them in advance, but I think you have to be open-minded, particularly in off-the-turf races, and be right about a horse that you thought was third best or fourth best that's 15-1 or 12-1 that shouldn't be, right?
Well, nobody does it like you. I've said this forever. You were the first to really identify the opportunity that presented itself. Because the other dialogue is that oh, it's raining and the day is ruined. No, schmo, the day's not ruined. There's going to
be
betting opportunities. Exactly, and it's one of those. It's one of those just palm, face palm moments. It's like, my God, you said it. You said it to me the other day when here came the overnight for Churchill, and the first comment out of a lot of people's mouths was, "Oh, the weather's going to be bad Saturday."
Right. Like, Jesus, we haven't had Christ. Any racing. There hasn't been much racing in a while, and Churchill's open. Other tracks are opening. It's like a time for horse players to be rejoicing, and the Churchill card comes out, and there's a zillion horses entered in each race on Saturday and Sunday, and there's 6 turf races out of 22 races, and oh, it's going to rain, right? I mean, I realize that we're all the same horse players. We tend to be pessimistic. Look at it, but, can we at least hold the griping for a week?
Exactly. Let's actually see if it does rain.
5 days next week, Thursday through Monday for Memorial Day.
Right.
It's hard
Memorial
to sort of imagine because nobody knows what day it is, but it's Memorial Day in a week and a half.
Yep. No, the month... flying by.
And it's warm today.
It's lovely.
Even up in Saratoga, you can be out.
Yeah.
I heard of people really out yesterday.
Very much.
It's all good.
You could feel it. Andy, listen, I appreciate this. We'll be watching you tomorrow and Sunday. Best of luck.
Tomorrow and Sunday. And
thank
then
you.
Every day Churchill's running will be on. I don't obviously know the schedules, but on both Fox channels. And, as you said, you mentioned some of the RSNs like Fine Ticket and others. So, yeah, we'll be available, and hopefully it'll be Churchill and Belmont soon, but it will definitely be Churchill throughout the rest of the meet, which goes at least until the end of June, right?
Yeah. Yes.
But I'm looking forward
Excellent.
To that. And Travis Stone. So two of my good friends, Frank Miramonte and Travis Stone, back to work this weekend, so that'll be nice as well.
Some fresh voices.
Two of my only friends.
They got to be. That's not true. You could,
see you later.
One of yours was on the air today, Nick Tamaro. We'll stay right here. We're going to stay here. We've got Steve Anderson and Mike Welch the next 40 minutes here, and we'll close out the morning, the weekend preview. Steve Anderson back to work in full when it comes to Santa Anita, but Steve was finding plenty to keep him busy. Quarter horse racing, Australia, Asia, Hong Kong, it didn't matter. Steve was finding stuff to keep him occupied. Good morning, Steve Anderson.
Good morning. I'm actually working on an article about the Robert Adair Kindergarten Fraternity at Los Alamos Sunday night at 11:44 p.m. Eastern. You're staying up.
I love it. You got a good group of babies?
There's an excellent group of two-year-olds. This is the first of several leading two-year-old races at Los Alamitos this year at precedes the Ed Burke Million Fraternity, which will be run trials on June 7th and final on June 21st. That's the first of the 3 6-figure races. But this sometimes proves to be an opportunity for the early season runners in California to show off. And the filly, trained by the very, very good Monte Arosa called Jet Wings One, looks very, very formidable in this field. So it's going to be an interesting race. There's 4 fillies and 6 males in a field of 10 going 350. So it's a good race. And it's nice to see that it'll be part of what is finally, a revival weekend here in California with the opening of Golden Gate, reopening of Golden Gate on Thursday. And today, of course, at 12:30 Pacific, a 9-race program at Santa Anita, which is highly anticipated. It's good to see the action back going again on the West Coast and also in other parts of the United States.
Well, the management was very patient, and they worked with the county. And I was sort of tickled to see Catherine Barger herself last night sent out a tweet and about how excited and happy she was to have racing kick back off today at Santa Anita.
So it was 4 weeks ago yesterday that the track put a proposal through to County Health, and they had been fairly frequent conversations with them in the subsequent month related to reopening, and that led to the announcement in late April that they would start the they intended to. And I think they knew that the parameters that they had put into place today because of the coronavirus outbreak would be accepted by the County Board of Health, the same organization that at the end of March on the March 27th told them that they had to close because of the coronavirus outbreak. So, you know, it's been longer than expected, longer than it hoped, but the good news is that racing is back. Unfortunately, no spectators, but that's a worldwide policy. I'm still waiting to see who's going to go first in that regard. And it's not happening, I can tell you, in Australia or Europe right now, understandably. So at least there's racing to follow. And, you know, it'll be nice to see these things get going again. The first two-year-old race of the year in Southern California, the Thoroughbreds, is Saturday at the Sunday rather at Santa Anita. There's also a very good Grade Three Desert Stormer that the six-time stakes winner Bella Fina is in after she ran a tough fourth in the carousel at Oaklawn at the end of April, and she's got a couple fillies like Mother, Fighting Mad, and Amused that she's got to beat in that field. So it's not a free pass for her necessarily, but she did have a blazingly good workout last week at Santa Anita, so she should be tough in that Sunday race on the 10-race program, which is the most prestigious race at Santa Anita the opening weekend.
Yeah, and the Sunday card actually is in a lot of ways the highlight of the weekend. And you know, there's some other parts of that that I might touch on with you, Steve. Before we do anything along those lines, give everybody a feel for how the horsemen are going to adjust in your anticipation to some of the protocols, because there is a bit of a involved and potentially cumbersome handing off of horses and giving them to people that'll be track employees, and then after the race giving them back to their grooms, the idea being to try to minimize the amount of people in the saddling area. They're going to saddle in the back ring. Give everybody a feel for this, and if the horsemen are apprehensive or they're just so happy to be running, they'll do anything.
Well, sometimes change takes time to get used to, but there are, and this is an evolving procedure because it has been changed just in the last couple of days, in fact. So the horses will be saddled in the receiving barn, which is to the west of the walking ring that everyone knows so well at Santa Anita. It's an Art Deco building that dates back, I think, to the track formation in the 30s. It's huge. It's got plenty of room to handle 8, 10, 12 runners, and believe me, there's plenty of large fields in California at Santa Anita this weekend without issues related to the current climate, so they can do the saddling there safely. And from there, they'll proceed to the grooms that are employed by the individual trainers will take their horses over to the walking ring where the valets will give the jockeys riders up, and then the pony people will accompany the horses from the walking ring out to the racetrack to proceed with warm-ups. So that's a little bit of a change in the sense that those valets will be the ones who give the legs up and work with the horses to get them off and on their way to the racetrack. And then after the race, there will not be a winner's circle photo in the winner's circle itself. There'll be a very quick piece of there'll be a photo taken. The horse will come back towards the winning post, and then there'll be something there very quickly. Obviously, there's no owners on site, and very few people, so it's not as much of a ceremony as what we know on a day-to-day basis. The rest of the horses will come back into the walking ring, where they will be unsaddled, and the horses will go back into the stables or into the testing barn facility, depending on how they performed, and then that procedure will repeat itself. So there's very, very few people who will be on site in the building running the races, other than the grooms and the trainers. The trainers have been advised that after they do their saddling, they will be asked to go to certain areas of the grandstand to watch on televisions or watch out front you know, there's not going to be that many of them, so they're going to be spaced out across the lower floors of the facility. So everything's a little different in regards to the way that things were operated briefly in March and certainly before that. So if this is what it takes to operate safely under the coronavirus outbreak and the protocols that need to be put into place to resume racing, I think people are thinking, so be it. Let's just do this and get started again. And then hopefully in the coming weeks and months, as the circuit moves around Southern California, these policies can be changed a little bit to you know, allow for what we consider to be a more normal approach. But right now, in order to get going again, things are a little different.
And also detail the human tie when it comes to the jocks, because they Santa Anita is renting some very costly, you know, Hollywood trailers, essentially the kind of dressing room trailers that are used on the sets of film production.
Well, they're available, that's for certain. That's one industry in this country that's been stopped to a walk, just like the restaurant industry.
Yes.
It's been stopped more than a walk. It's been stopped almost entirely. Is television and entertainment production. So, and that this city knows all about that. So in that regard, you know, this is a good time to go call those Starvan people and ask them if you might be able to help out with some facilities. The way it's going to go is jockeys have been, in the last couple of days, have undergone testing. They will, again, have their temperatures checked as they arrive for their rides. Then when they finish the rides, then they'll go into that little temporary housing situation, and they'll stay there until they're finished with their mounts this weekend. So they'll have one or two nights of I guess you want to say quarantine, fine, if you want to say just, you know, that's where they'll be. And then when they're finished with their mounts on at the end of the weekend, they can go back home. And then when they come back on next Friday for resumption of racing, they'll be tested again, and that'll be the procedure. So, you know, now they've changed the rule just a little bit slightly in regards to morning workouts, where jockeys can work horses, and the horses aren't, they meet the horses in the walking ring again, take them out for exercise and bring them back to the walking ring, whereas before they would be at the barn. But now jockeys are not allowed in the barn since late March. And so even in the weeks, and just until recently, that was the policy, that jockeys couldn't work horses because the track was trying to reduce the number of people that were in the stable area just to keep the numbers down in relation to the coronavirus outbreak. So in that sense, that's changed ever so slightly because the jockeys now meet the horses, as I mentioned, in the walking ring. So, you know, there's been a lot of little things like that. Does that, you know, when they come onto the track at 12:22 and we watch races until, you know, 4 o'clock hour in Southern California, you won't notice that necessarily because you'll still see the game presented in the same fashion in which it has been. So that's all cool. But behind the scenes, there's some small changes, and that's what's important right now.
No, I wanted to make sure that everybody was aware of you know, all the procedures and the investment that's been put into getting things back going, and a huge relief for everybody. One thing to talk about, I did notice a couple of horses today, Steve, and I wanted to point out that ninth race, the 5.5 furlong maiden group that includes a second timer from Baffert, the American Pharoah colt, out of Harmony Lodge, American Code. Might be yet another, you know, addition to the incredible lineup of Baffert players.
That's true too. 12-4 field in that one in the last race of the program, as you mentioned, and it's a very interesting late pick four with 9, 10. And 11 and 12 runners over the course of those races, and that maiden race is actually a division of another race earlier in the program. So that's been popular. No, it's not. I'm sorry. The preceding race is a division, but nonetheless, really strong fields across the board this weekend. When without racing for so long, there's obviously a pent up demand for to have runners, and so this will be, you know, really strong indication that I think it'll continue. Probably they only have 6 more weeks of racing at Santa Anita until the closure of the meeting on June 21. And I believe they'll have really strong field sizes for the most part through that period.
Got to ask Steve as well about Sunday and the 10th race that is an allowance, optional claimer, and it was for three and ups. And the most notable, one of the more notable parts of it is that Tis a Magician, who I'm sure I anticipate that Mandela might have been, you know, wanting to use this as a step toward the Santa Anita Derby, ends up getting pushed out on the AEs. However, Eric Kruljak has got that maiden, last out maiden winner, Kiss Today Goodbye, and people should be aware of this Cairo Prince Colt.
Yeah, he definitely ran well when he was in his fifth start back on February 22nd. Umberto Rispoli retains the mount on a horse that came from fifth in a field of seven to lead in the final strides at 7-1. So look out for him to play a factor in the race. Also, just for the sake of it, Lambo, who didn't necessarily draw real well on the rail for the fact that he's a speed horse, should be a factor. Mike Smith takes them out for the second time, first time since August. I think Lambo could be one to follow. I don't know that he'll necessarily be out front, but he certainly should be forward. And that'll be one to follow as well. It's a good little field. It's what you expect these sort of circumstances and with 7 weeks to 8 weeks almost between racing and good runners coming out of there. Tis a Magician, you may remember, I believe, if memory serves correct, I think he was sent to Dubai for the UAE Derby and then turned around and had to come right back home. So there's a circumstance there where this is his chance to finally get back going again. And he might be one of those colts, and there'll be a national list of these guys, who, because the Kentucky Derby is not in May and other major stakes of the series, he could be the beneficiary of having a delayed calendar in that regard. And maybe he'll be a little smarter, a little farther along in September than he was in the middle of the spring. So regardless of whether he draws into this field in advance of the San Diego Derby, he's certainly one to keep an eye on going into the summertime as we kind of adjust to the new calendar for 2020.
Well, and while we're talking about Sunday, Desert Stormer, Bellafina's return home, and feels like that the trip to Oaklawn was of a benefit. She came back and fired a nice half-mile bullet, and I also got to bring up Mother in here, coming back out of the Santa Monica, where she was second behind Hard Not to Love, and it feels like Ron Ellis with First Star, second start of the season, feels like the first dude four-year-old, she may be a star in the making. There's quite a bit going on in the Desert Stormer that's worth noting. It'll go as the eighth race on Sunday, the 7 o'clock, and the first graded stake of the season with its resumption.
And Fighting Mad's on the rail, and she's got some speed, and she won the Torrey Pines very well last year by 8 lengths, a small grade three race at Del Mar for three-year-old fillies in a mile, and her sprint form's pretty good. But Baffert did warn in the conversation yesterday for an article on DRF.com that he thought that Fighting Mad would be benefit from a start, and that she might be a four-year-old filly to follow as we get into the summer. Very much like First Star, both of them have only had 5 starts. They're still somewhat unexposed. They've got some massive potential to improve and join the national conversation, or even, you know, in terms of stakes and graded stakes beyond this Desert Stormer, which for both of them is probably going to be a little bit more of just a wake-up race, really, and then see what they can do. But whereas Bellafina, who was worked by Pratt last Sunday in half mile 46 and 4/5, you know, she's got the recent race in the carousel. She broke on the rail. She started slowly, moved down to the outside with a 4-wide move, ran into a quick pace, couldn't sustain the effort, and was beaten 10 lengths by Mia Mischief. So Amy's Challenge was second in that field. And you know, that's kind of a tough race to watch, in the sense that if you thought Bellafina had that field to beat, she never really had her kind of race after that poor start.
And also the sixth race on this card is just a 7-horse field. However, it marks the return of Roatan for Don Chatlos and Larry Best, last seen in the Alan Jerkins, and actually, you know, ran a tremendous race to end the season. The exciting finish with Mind Control and Hot Creek Hustle and Chancelot. And you've also got Glatt bringing back Collusion Illusion, who, you know, had some buzz about him, you know, as a 2-year-old last year.
And rightfully so. He ran a very nice race in the Best Pal, and then Mark was, you know, very cautious about he skipped the Del Mar Futurity in favor of the American Pharoah, and that just didn't work out at all. He was wide on the first turn. He was unsettled, and finally Talamo just pulled him up, and within a short period of time, Glad had given that colt the winter off, and he's been working pretty steadily, and there was some concern by Glad earlier this spring about where on earth am I going to run this horse, and that was before racing was stopped. So in that sense, this break has given Glad a goal with this horse. I think he could be the sort of horse, speaking of Rowayton, who might be good enough to be in a Jerkins Stakes this year at Saratoga, or even, you know, those sort of races. He's definitely a very talented colt who displayed that in his first two starts and beat a decent field in the best pal. But I thought the style of the win was very impressive in the sense that a second-time starter had a good amount of patience and responded well for Talamo. Now, Flavian Pratt, who was aboard for the maiden win back in July at Del Mar, regains the mount. So one to follow there from Mark Glad, a horse who's been looked forward to coming back for quite a long time, and now not only makes his 3-year-old debut, but does so against older horses in May. So it's a tough place to come back with other runners in the field that look like they might have some role in the race. As you mentioned, Rowayton, and even on the rail, Hot Sean, who's a 5-time winner, could be a factor in there as well from just off the pace.
Well, a terrific 3 days to get things back up and running, and we've got the Shoemaker to come and the Santa Anita Derby, and let's just pretend that, you know, pay no attention to those 2 months behind the curtain.
No, it's been frustrating, obviously, for not only the Southern California racing community, but everywhere in the nation. I mean, it's going to be, you know, greatly appreciated when venues from New York to New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and Iowa get back going again. It's, you know, the Pacific Northwest is getting ready. They're going to start in Ruidoso a week from today. There's, you know, Texas is not that far off, and there's some talks about next week at the Texas Racing Commission meeting about getting the meet started in Retama later this summer. So, you know, state by state and region by region, things are starting to finally look up, and it's been a long spring, and obviously this is just part of life, not even, you know, compared to what the bigger, greater, more important health issues are in this world and this nation. But it's just nice to know that American horse racing as a sport is starting to show some, starting to get back and going again, and folks have to watch from home, but that's cool. We'll just enjoy it and then look forward to the day, probably next year, when we can all hang out at the track and admire these runners in person.
Steve Anderson, everybody, and Steve just does not stop keeping track, whether it's the quarters, whether it's the thoroughbreds, and all the outfits in Southern California. He's been looking after Northern California as well, with Golden Gate getting started, Brad Free handling the handicapping responsibilities. Jay will be back here next week, and Steve, stay safe, and you know, find something to do with yourself. You know, I don't know, Hong Kong, you must be tracking what's going on at Ascot as well. And when they make their decisions,
yep,
you're amazing.
June 1st for England and June 8th, it was announced today, June 8th in Ireland. So there's some, just not too far from now, there's that. But the more important issue in the very short term is what on earth the car chase was that just zoomed down the Pacific Coast Highway about a quarter of a mile to my east. I don't know what on earth just happened, but there was a lot of commotion. I'm surprised it didn't pick up on my telephone, but I hope they caught the guy, because they certainly had enough of him chasing after him.
Well, there's only one person we can check with for confirmation, and that would be Samantha Siegel. She is the queen of the chases.
Yeah, it's good to see racing back on again, and it's good to, you know, look forward to getting back into the groove that we enjoy and I'm looking forward to seeing some nice races all weekend all around the nation.
Steve Anderson, everybody, the kindergarten at Los Al as well to look forward to as the 2-year-old quarters are getting up and running. We're going to stay right here because Steve's colleague, Mike Welch, is standing by, and it's actually a very notable Saturday at Gulfstream. Very good card with 3 stakes and more. Mike, good morning.
Morning, Steve.
Mike, off the turf, Andy Serling gave us that information about a half hour ago, or give or take, and hopefully
on Twitter
tomorrow.
About 4 hours ago, but from down here.
Well,
got to go to the source.
Nice. Well, I was watching for
that's
other
okay.
other elements. The Saturday, talk about tomorrow. Are you going to be okay for tomorrow? Because there's, you know, some very good turf racing, including the stake.
I'm not so sure. We took a lot of rain. Ooh. It's still raining, and the forecast is not good. Looks like it's going to rain throughout the day today, and then still 50% into tomorrow. So I would say that I wouldn't do too much handicapping for the turf for tomorrow either. Maybe they'll try to save the stake on there, but I don't have a good feeling about it, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's too bad.
It'll
also impact, clearly if we've got a wet track, you got a number of very good races, including the three-year-old 6.5 furlong stake. Just so happened we had the Reeveses on yesterday. They were on their way to Ocala from Atlanta, and we talked to them about their two runners in the Roar. There's a very good first level allowance as well. And, you know, looking down at that race, Mike, and before we talk about the Hollywood Wildcat today, I got to make a note. Michael Yates is on fire.
Yeah, I know. He's had a good run. You know, his two-year-olds, he always kind of has them ready. He's not Wesley Ward with the strength of his stable, but, you know, he points for the early two-year-old races here. And he's had some success in the past. He'll try to sell some of those horses off some early season wins, and a lot of them are Florida breds that are, you know, going to be eligible for the good money in the Stallion Sire Series, it's called now, later in the year, so he gets them started early. He's done well, but he's got a couple of good older horses, too, and that race tomorrow, that eighth race, is really terrific. I mean, you got Cajun Brother for Yates. Looks like he could be a monster on title. Second in the Gotham, come back and win an easy state bred race. Casino Grande, an easy first-time starter winner for Chris Clement over at Tampa. Extraordinary, a nice maiden winner for Rudolph Brissett. And then Edge of Fire for Jimmy Jerkins, who I guess his ultimate goal is going to be the Queen's Plate. But, has run two big races here so far as well. So that's some race tomorrow.
Agreed. Let's talk about Jimmy and Greenlight Go, 6-5 in the Roar.
Yeah, I mean, deservedly so. He's obviously the class of the field. He's going to get Lasix for the first time, which, you know, could make a difference as well. Everything kind of points out as definitely the one to beat in there. He seems to be training well, according to our clock report. So give a little bit of that information away. His workouts seem to be good. So, again, the wet track could be a factor. That you're going to have to take that into consideration. He has not had a race on a wet track, but he is by heart spun, so he should handle it. He's going to take some beating. I mean, it's not an easy spot, and there is some speed in there inside him and outside him, which could help the course, too. I think he's just going to try to sit off it as he did when he won the Saratoga Special. He looks like he'd get the similar trip. So, and you got Luis Saez, who's riding terrific right now. Him and Nyrad are dominating down here. But, there's some other talented horses in there. The pace situation will be interesting. You got Ricky Ticky Taffy on the rail. You got Cajun Casanova and Our Nation on Parade, who may show some speed. I don't know what's going to happen with him coming off that unlucky race last week. But you talk about the Reeves. It's Our Nation on Parade and Double Crown. Both ran in that same allowance race. Double Crown ran a terrific second off the bench. Our Nation on Parade lost his rider. So it was hard to tell where he was going to end up in there. A little quick back for Double Crown off a long layoff and then a three-week turnaround. But the spot's here, and I don't blame him for taking the shot. And with Verve, he hasn't done anything wrong. He won the Hodgson's, been fresh and working well. Pace should help him. So he was actually my second pick in here. I got Greenlight going with Verve 1-2.
Yeah, I mentioned Michael Yates, and I'd be remiss if I didn't also include Terry Pompey, who won the feature yesterday and has got a big shot in the stake today. Then she's got a major presence.
She's out of there today. She's actually...
Oh, did she?
Like she's
going to run Saturday?
Yeah, I think she's going by the forecast and the weather. She's a main track only in one of those nice turf allowance races tomorrow that's almost certain to come off the grass, so... she came out today and is going to go in there where she'll be a much shorter price.
Oh, all right. I'll tell you, she seems like she's pushing all the right buttons. And we should mention that yesterday Aerosol won the feature, and that was a square price on her.
Yeah, no, it was a big effort, and it kind of flatters Wildwood's Beauty a little bit more tomorrow in the musical Romance. Wildwood's Beauty handled Aerosol a couple of times here during the summer, and then has gone on to actually bigger and better things against Open Company. Those were Florida-bred races. Second in the Hurricane Inside Info to Pink Sand, second in the Hurricane Birdie to Sally Skirlin, second in a race at Tampa, Stake at Tampa. She's in terrific form, and Scott Becker has maintained her real well since the Hurricane Birdie. She gets Irad Ortiz. She's going to be a very deserving favorite, but a very interesting horse in there for Todd Pletcher, Bolera. It's Luis Saez, has not run since winning the Ladies Handicap. Obviously wants to go further, but, you know, if the track plays like it played, and I should mention this, last Sunday we had a lot of rain, and the sloppy track definitely favored outside paths and closers. It'd be interesting to see if that same situation comes up today and then again tomorrow, if we have a wet track again tomorrow. That would certainly help. Both Wildwood's Beauty and Bolera will be coming from off the pace there. So Bolera going 7/8 is sure to drop off the pace as well. Training well, Todd Pletcher, no worry about her being fit enough off the layoff. Got to beat Wildwood's Beauty, but, you know, Wildwood's Beauty has been stuck in second gear a little bit. Ladies Island, too, in that race, and no one's going to be in front of her, that's for sure. 7/8, stretching it a little bit. I talked to Georgina Baxter. She's hoping maybe for a wet track. This horse is 6/9 on a wet track, and she thinks if she can get 7/8, it's going to be her best chance to be over a wet track.
Mike, we should also, on that stake topic, mention what's going on Sunday as well, because we've got Spinoff coming back.
Yeah. I mean, it's a big weekend, and these races were written. These races weren't originally on. Today's race and Sunday's race were not originally on the stake schedule for the spring-summer meet. Mike Lakow, you know, assessing what he had in his barn areas for at least the first month to 6 weeks of the meet, wrote these races in the second book, or third book, I guess it is now. You know, drew good field today, and you got a big horse coming back on Sunday. I haven't really looked the race over yet, but, you know, it was good of them here to put up the extra money to kind of help the guys that have stayed behind during this situation here with no racing until, you know, this weekend at Churchill, and no racing still in New York, and still that uncertainty up there for the New York trainers.
Speaking of big horses, and, you know, we were going to talk about the turf before we, you know, got word that, you know, things may be a little iffy. What do you think that means for Cassie and Gary Barber and Got Stormy?
I don't know. I'm going to guess they're going to have to pass here. It's for a modest purse and first time back. You know, why do you want to put her on the main track off of a layoff like that, if that's what the situation is? If it's a less than firm, you know, turf course, she has performed on that in the past. At least she has one race on the good track at Woodbine, where she was second in the Woodbine Mile. Early in her career, not so good at Belmont and the Pebbles. So she's only had a little bit of experience. My best guess, without talking to Mark, is she's going to pass, just like he passed with War Will last week as well, after drawing that bad post outside. You know, keep our fingers crossed. Maybe things will clear out. Maybe the weatherman will be wrong. But we took so much rain already today, and they're going to take so much more that I don't know. I don't think the prospects are good.
Mike, what's your best for tomorrow?
My best bet?
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember who I made best bet. You know, I was handicapped. The hardest part about doing these kind of cards for the paper is try to predict the track and who's going to stay in and come out of these races, and then it's impossible to predict if there's a bias or not a bias on the main track. Let me go through my stuff here. I'm trying to I don't have the paper in front of me.
I just pulled it up, and well, yeah, it seems, you know, it's not usually I can look up and down. There'll be a 12-1, there'll be a 15-1, but it looks like you kind of just
chalked out.
Expected, you know. Yeah, a little bit, a little bit.
Did I go with green light go? It was best bet. I can't remember.
Yeah,
I don't
you
think
did.
So.
You did.
I did.
No, you did. You did.
Well, I apologize to that. For that.
That's all right.
You know what that means? It means just, like I said, I mean, with all the uncertainty on the other races and the track conditions, it's hard to settle in on a best bet in some of these other races without knowing what you're dealing with. So I took a horse that I think rain or shine, wet or dirt, or fast.
Not, yeah.
Then I think he's just going to win that race. So, but I apologize, and hopefully we'll have a better best bet in the days ahead, a little more pricey one.
No, we're not worried. Not worried about you. In terms of horses that are heading out, and do we have a handle yet? The ones that already moved up to Churchill, and then I suppose the New York crowd will be the next to ship out as soon as they get some green lighting.
Yeah, I mean, some of the New York guys have sent horses to Churchill. I think Todd is keeping, he sent some there as well. But I think he's keeping a lot of his race-ready horses down here until he gets the green light up there. So we'll see him for a while. Chad, I'm not sure. I think Dave Grenning was trying to talk to him about his situation and what he was looking forward to doing. The Kentucky guys, I think most of them will be out by the end of this weekend. I think Dale Roman's in the process of shipping now. So we won't see many of them anymore. And most of the Canadian trainers are gone. Mike DiPaolo is still here and still running. He's about the last of the Canadian guys. But I think the New York trainers and the Jersey guys are going to stick around, too. Timmy Hills, Anthony Margotta, Mazza, those guys, they're still going to stay here. I mean, that track doesn't open until early June, and I know Timmy Hills and Tony Margotta said probably middle of June before they go up there. As long as you can run here, you might as well stay here and run where you can, and they're going to pretty good chance we're going to keep going here right straight through. So it's been a blessing for these guys that would have nowhere to go, and a lot of horses idle for a long period of time. They've stayed right here, gotten a run, and it's been a plus for all of us down here.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Tampa will wrap up, I think, when they go to the 30. Where's my date? I think they it's somewhere on the old desk.
Yeah, they finished, I think, whatever the last Saturday of the month is.
Yeah.
As of now, there's some whisper that they might even continue further, but that hasn't been verified yet. But right now, I think whatever the date of the last Saturday is, 29th. Maybe that would be the last day.
Yes.
For them.
Yeah. Exactly. 29th. And, yeah. And down there, you guys will run on the 20. Anything planned for the Memorial Day Monday card? Steak, maybe.
I have to check the schedule. That's too far ahead for me. I'm still working on finishing Saturday's clocker report. So.
That a boy.
But that will be out. That'll be out in a couple hours.
Now, and the Clocker Report's been a big help, with the postseason after the winter. Mike Welch, good luck this weekend, and I hope,
hope we get lucky somehow with the rest of the weather tomorrow. But again, I wouldn't do too much handicapping on those turf races until tomorrow morning, at least.
No, as our friend says, shame about the weather. That's the
exactly.
Mike
Usually
Welch,
have
everybody.
A good comment down here, but
yes.
Not so much this weekend. It really is a shame about the weather this weekend.
That's all right. The racing is good, and even as Andy mentioned, the opportunity to bet some off the turf races that are not being bet properly by the public. Good opportunities. Always great to check in with Mike, and the weekend preview. We're into such a welcome weekend starting this afternoon at Santa Anita, 3:30 first post, and a couple of months yet to come out there. It's great. Want to thank James Scully, Marty McGee, Nick Tamaro, Hammer. We didn't get to Ed today. We couldn't. Casey kept chasing him. Andy Serling, Steve Anderson, and Mike Welch. And again, the TV action, 1:30 tomorrow to 2:30 on Fox Sports 2, then 2:30 to 6 on Fox Sports 1, and then 6:30 I'm back on for Fox Sports 2. Prime ticket, and and more. And a similar schedule for Sunday. I'll do Churchill for tomorrow. And let's get lucky. Stay safe, everybody. We'll talk to you on Monday. At the Races, Sirius XM. Thanks to Case behind the glass. Good luck.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice. Voices sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.